Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com. Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. Millions of people read and love mystery stories. Agatha Christie, Conan Doyle, Raymond Chandler. There's a body in the library or the penthouse apartment. Someone's been murdered. And the question is always, who done it? Well, America has been murdered. Who are the killers? Well, a major New York publisher has come right out and told us who the killers are, has actually shown us photographs of the murder taking place. And guess what? The murderers are the subject of the book and his allies, almost all members of the same tribe we've come to know so well, and they are quite proud of what they've done. Will Williams recently wrote in the National Alliance Bulletin, quote, Dr. William Pierce often commented about the adverse influence that Jews Jerry Rubin and Abby Hoffman had on American youth in the 1960s and early 1970s, quoting generously from their widely distributed books to make his points. Rubin was infamous for telling American youth, kill your parents, in his book, Do It. He was killed in a road accident in 1994. This is the background for the coffee table-sized biography, Did It, From Yippie to Yuppie, Jerry Rubin, an American Revolutionary, by Pat Thomas. Did It is extraordinary in how it reveals from cover to cover just how Jewish the counterculture movement led by Rubin and Hoffman really was. Someone in our camp needs to write a review of this amazing biography, with its hundreds of photos of Rubin's Jewish co-revolutionists and numerous accounts of their plots to overthrow traditional white America. It's now available from Cosmotheist Books. I have taken a look at parts of Did It and listened to interviews with its author. I reread Rubin's book, Do It, and Steal This Book by his fellow Jewish revolutionary, Abby Hoffman. I don't claim that this radio program is the exhaustive review of Did It that we need, but I did want to let all of you know about it and urge you to get a copy from Cosmotheist Books. The author of the book, Pat Thomas, is a real piece of work. I found no evidence that he's a Jew, but both his looks and his words are so unhealthy that it's impossible not to wonder. And it's painful indeed to have to admit that he's a member of our race. This, I suppose, is what happens from a lifetime of immersion in the very counterculture that our enemies created. Just listen to what he says. His previous books include Listen, Whitey, The Sights and Sounds of Black Power, which really sounds like something you could curl up with next to the fireplace on those long winter evenings. He was a consultant for the PBS documentary The Black Panthers, Vanguard of the Revolution. And get this, he compiled a 3-CD set of boy-raping Jewish poet Allen Ginsberg's ravings for no less than the Allen Ginsberg estate. Ginsberg, who we've covered here on nationalvanguard.org, was a pioneering counterculture figure too, just like Rubin, who also just happened to be Jewish. One reviewer said of the CD set produced by Thomas, quote, "Ginsberg's open, gleeful, and articulate queerness bursts through," close quote, and praised so-called songs such as Vomit Express and the, quote, "sex-positive folk rock," close quote, Jimmy Berman, Gay Lib Rag, and the ever-so-praiseworthy Guru Blues, which includes the immortal line, quote, "I can't find anyone to F me in the A." Well, you get the idea. This is the kind of culture that white kids of my generation were sold as a replacement for the existing American culture. And did it shows us from the pen of a man who apparently approves of it all that the sellers and pushers of this filth were overwhelmingly Jews. As a reader takes in the text, the very revealing quotes, and looks at the large collection of photographs, the sensitive white man or woman cannot help but realize that these weirdly sick people, with their inhuman, twisted agenda, and their viscerally disgusting faces, heavy with evil, are very different from us. It's just a half step from that realization to the understanding that the Jews, the tribe, are making war on us and want us dead, and that the counterculture was a major knife thrust twisted into our necks in a murder campaign that is not quite over yet. So, Mr. Thomas, if that is his actual name, has inadvertently done us a service with Did It. The title Did It is, of course, derivative of Jerry Rubin's title for his 1970 book, Do It. It's amazing to me that so many Jewish and Jew-fawning and Jew-blind leftist revolutionaries never seemed to notice that their revolutionary manual was published by the very upscale, very Jewish, very establishment Simon and Schuster, ensconced in their guerrilla hideout at Rockefeller Center, 630 Fifth Avenue, New York City. Right above the Simon and Schuster imprint, bolded all caps text screams at us, "Read this book stoned." Rubin's book was adorned by an introduction by anti-white, black rapist of white women, Eldridge Cleaver, who, amidst obscenities, sets the tone by stating, quote, "I can unite with Jerry Rubin around the total desire to smash what is now the social order in the United States of America. On the night of October 27, 1967, in the wee hours of that darkness, guns blared in the heart of Black Oakland, on 7th and Willow Streets. The quiet of the night was shattered by the minor thunder of the guns. Death stalking a circle around warring men, and the shadow of death was created by the blare leaping from the barrel of a gun. A pig white lay dead, deep fried in the fat of his own bullshit. And another pig white lay there, similar to the dead one in every respect, except that he did not die. This was a rare moment of death for the oppressor and triumph for the oppressed. This beautiful spark of glory on the streets in the dark in Babylon lights the way, telling those who remain and fight on how to finish the job of offing the pigs. Close quote. Plus ça change, plus c'est la même chose. 1970, 2020. Weaponized blacks, enemy media, enemy money, same enemies, same Jews. A few pages later, Rubin himself adds to that tone. Quote, I went to Oberlin College for a year, graduated from the University of Cincinnati, spent 1.5 years in Israel, and started graduate school at Berkeley. I dropped out. I dropped out of the white race and the American nation. Close quote. And he says, quote, our goal is to create fires, blackouts, subway stoppages, strikes, and snowstorms, because only in crisis does liberation come to a city. The revolution declares all land titles null and void. We are urban and rural liberators, seizing land for the people. No more I own it. People who believe they can own natural resources, industries, or land are really candidates for mental institutions. We will bring the war to the suburbs. The middle class creates suburbs as a sanctuary from the fire of the city. In a revolution, there are no sanctuaries. At community meetings all over the land, Bob Dylan will replace the national anthem. There will be no more jails, courts, or police. The White House will become a crash pad for anybody without a place to stay in Washington. The world will become one big commune with free food and housing, everything shared. All watches and clocks will be destroyed. There will be no such crime as stealing because everything will be free. The Pentagon will be replaced by an LSD experimental farm. There will be no more schools or churches because the entire world will become one church and school. Close quote. Can anyone actually believe such ridiculous, preposterous lies? How Rubin and Hoffman and Ginsburg and their fellow members of the tribe must have laughed as they wrote such drivel and got paid for it. Near the end of his book, Rubin says, quote, the pigs fired the first shot, but we, the white and black niggers, will fire the last, close quote. I'm not so sure about that. The counterculture of the 1960s and later, that the Jews guided and encouraged, was a major thrust of the knife that killed our beloved country. I was there, and I remember it well. Hate your parents. Kill your parents. Eat the rich. Quit working. Getting high 3 times a day is more important. Forget marriage. Forget a traditional family. Have sex with anything that moves man. It's liberation. Experiment with new kinds of sexuality. Don't trust anyone over 30. Get high 5 times a day. Steal this book. Ho, 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 Ho Chi Minh is going to win. Love everyone. Turn on. Tune in. Drop out. Never stop being high. See God while stoned out of your mind in a gutter filled with filth and urine. Of course, the American establishment was rotten. It did deserve to be rejected by American youth and by everybody else. It had abdicated to its worst enemies and accepted the quote-unquote moral premises of those who wanted it dead. It had just engaged in a hypocritical and servile capitulation to war-mongering Jews and proceeded to slaughter its own kin in Europe on an unprecedented scale for no other reason, really, than Jaime says so. American democracy was a crooked farce. American capitalism was a rapacious and increasingly Jewish slave system masquerading as freedom. American churches were either subversive or massively hypocritical or irredeemably primitive or all three combined. So rotten, all of it. It needed more than just renewal. It needed rebirth, the kind envisioned by Dr. William Pierce, a creative rebirth that leads to excellence in everything, to strength, to upward evolution, to the stars, to life. But the Jews, clever geniuses of rot and destruction as they are, had different answers. They channeled the dissatisfaction and disquiet of white youth into mindlessness, weakness, self-hatred, self-numbing, suicide, dissolution, and death. At the beginning of this program, I told you that America has been murdered, and a major New York publisher has come right out and told us who the killers are, has actually shown us photographs of the murder taking place. And guess what? The murderers are almost all members of the same tribe we've come to know so well, and they are quite proud of what they've done. Now we know who did it. This book is their confession. The question remains, will they get away with it? The answer to that question, my friends, is up to us.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have our rebirth. For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have.
You're listening to Resolution Radio, Radio, Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
My brothers, my sisters, I bring you a message of solidarity, a call to action, and a demand for adherence to duty of an Aryan resurgence and ultimately total Aryan victory. We have broken the chains of Jewish thought. We know not the meaning of the word mine, it is ours. Our race, the totality of our people. 10 hearts, one beat. 100 hearts, one beat. 10,000 hearts, one beat. We are born to fight and to die and to continue the flow. The flow of our people. Onward we will go, onward to the stars, high above the mud of yellow, black, and brown. So kinsmen, duty calls. The future is now. If months from now you have not yet fully committed yourself to the Alliance, then you have in effect not only betrayed your race, you have betrayed yourself. So stand up like men and drive the enemy into the sea. Stand up like men and swear a sacred oath upon the green graves of our sires that you will reclaim what our forefathers discovered, explored, conquered, settled, built, and died for. Stand up like men and reclaim our soil. Kinsmen, arise. Look towards the stars and proclaim our destiny. Defeat never, victory forever.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size for incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency. Get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
I believe in race. I'm not ashamed to admit it at all. And that doesn't mean one bit that I'm out to persecute or hurt any man because of his race. He can't help what race he is. We believe that each race has particular geniuses and particular faults. The white race has built white Western civilization, and we think the white race should dominate in that area. National socialism fundamentally is the application of science not only to inanimate objects and animals, but to mankind himself. We believe that the communists, the Marxists, have one fatal error in their doctrine, a place where absolutely there's a hole and there's no explanation for it. They admit evolution. They admit that animals vary by breed and that you can breed better and worse animals. Now, how do they explain how there is a sudden dividing line when you come to one particular animal called man? They have no explanation. Time and again, when I've asked them, they have no explanation. They just say, if it's got two legs and it stands on its hind feet, then it suddenly becomes a special being and there is absolutely equality. They're all the same. Man is an animal just like all the rest of the animals. He's more intelligent, but he must obey nature's laws. And that insofar as he is an animal, he must obey the laws that pertain to animals. We say that when the white race has produced such a wonderful thing as Western civilization, we should treasure the people that have produced that and can maintain it. And we should not mix them all up with other kinds of civilizations, whether or not they're good. We should certainly try to preserve it just the way the farmer preserves his better grade of stock. We are also, socially speaking, tribalists. You must live as social beings. You have to live with other people. And this is impossible unless you observe certain fundamental laws of the tribe, the ancient Indian tribe, any kind of tribe of people, even a wolf pack, has got to have certain fundamental things. One of these things is leadership. Not leadership by the most popular, but by the strongest and the best. Any tribe or Indian tribe or any group or family should be led by the best and the strongest. Otherwise, it disintegrates. It's got to have group pride and loyalty. You've got to have selection in the mating process, something that we have almost lost now. We believe that it is of fundamental importance to society that the strongest, cleverest, and the best of the men mate with the best type of women who will make good mothers. And when you destroy that machinery, you get what we have now. We believe that you have got to have an organic society. Now, by an organic society, we mean a society, not a dictatorship, but a society in which the parts of the society cooperate together in different functions and in peace and harmony, just the way your body works. Cancer is the wild, uncontrolled growth of cells at the expense of all the rest of the body, and that's what you have in Washington, D.C. right now. Cancer. We believe in private property and free enterprise. It is impossible, we believe, to have a society in which there is any real work going on unless people can get the reward of their effort. And at the same time, we believe you've got to have social justice. You cannot have people who are exploiting and squeezing little helpless people economically. And this is where I get in trouble with the conservatives, because most of today's conservatives, I've discovered, are reactionaries. They're real anxious to hold on to their money. They don't care how they have to figure it out. They just want those money bags. And they come up with any kind of rationale to keep it. Every national socialist believes in idealism, believes in something that is worth more than his own one single human life. He's willing to die for something. When you're ready to die for something, then you're alive. And until you are ready to die for something, you have no real fanaticism. And just at dinner a little while ago with some of the fellows there, they said, were telling me, well, it's terrible to be a fanatic. Well, did you ever stop and think how this country got here? How all the great inventions ever got there? Any one of you out there that is not a fanatic on something or other, whatever it is you're studying, if you're going to be a doctor, be a fanatical doctor. Otherwise, you'll be nothing. You'll just be an ordinary old chug-chugging guy, and when you die, nobody will notice it. But if you're a fanatic, you'll produce something great. You'll create. Creativity is fanaticism. Every creative genius has had to be a fanatic. Many of them have been burned at the stake. So we are ideological and idealistic fanatics. Just like the communists, by the way. In between the Nazis and the communists is the great mass of non-fanatics, the TV watchers and the comic book readers. I will say this, National Socialism is the inevitable end product, logically, of evolution. If you believe in evolution, you've got to be a Nazi if you think about it long enough. You can't help it. But what happens is people short-circuit it. The minute they believe in evolution and scientific breeding until they come to that two-legged animal that stands up on its hind legs, then all the rules are up. We say that's not possible. You either believe in the scientific method and the truth, and you apply it to yourself without egotism, or else you don't believe in the scientific method and you're kidding yourself. Nazis believe in ruthless application of the truth, not only to inanimate matter and animals, but to you animals. People, all of us are the same insofar as we are animals and must survive and live as animals. And unless we breed ourselves better, we're going to get worse. That's what's happening. I do worship nature in that I'm humble. When I see the mighty, awesome power of nature, and believe me, I've seen some terrific power of nature, the typhoons off Japan during the war, earthquakes. I've been through some tremendous cataclysms on this earth. And compared to them, the atomic bomb is like a firecracker. Nothing. And when you start to think of the enormity of space, our spacemen are just going around at the very bottom levels of space. They're no place yet. There are over 100 million planets where life, just like here, could exist. And in the face of that awesome probability, not possibility, probability, I say it's ridiculous to be egocentric and say we are the center of all things. Everything turns around us. We Nazis are humble. When I look at nature and realize how ignorant and small and feeble and weak and little we are, Nazism is a philosophy of nature, a way of looking at the world. And as I've pointed out, we believe in tribalism. We don't think we're above that. We think that you've got to have pride in your family, pride in your race, pride in your nation. That's not something to laugh at. Patriotism and pride in family and pride in race is something we should be proud of and cultivate, work on, not get rid of. Finally, we believe in morals. We believe in the traditions of goodness, virtue. Now let me, I told you something about what we are, but I'll do as good as I can in telling you what I think our enemies are. And our enemies, make no mistake about it, are the Marxists. The philosophy of Marxism, I believe, is the enemy of all humanity. It's the reverse of humanity. We say communism itself is the most vicious, anti-social doctrine the world has ever known, and here's why. They completely deny the very basis on which any human order can exist at all. Without humans, or at least without civilized humans, you certainly can't have human order. And the communists say they don't believe in race. They believe in absolute equality. The pygmies the Aborigines of Australia, everybody, send them, let them all come to Carlton, and they'll all write arias and books, and the cannibals will be producing the music and verses. That's all you have to do is educate them. And this simply is not true. This results in chaos, social chaos, which is what we have now. They don't believe in enterprise. They don't believe that people should work for themselves. They believe that the state should come and tell them what to do. They don't believe in private property. They don't believe that you can keep the fruits of your production. They don't have, above all, they have no spiritual ideal. We say the only thing that's worth protecting with your life is ideals and your family, your race, and your nation. And twice in my lifetime, I've been called upon to go out and risk getting killed. And I saw a lot of other young men doing this. Young fanatics that they made out of it, by the way. They made us real fanatic haters of the Germans and fanatic haters of the Japanese. Nobody protested that that was bad to be a fanatic when we were fighting those Japs, and I assure you we all were. Finally, the communists, if you remember when they first got into Russia, they are against morals. They had free love, no morals at all, everything was have a ball. And the result was they almost tore Russia to pieces, they just fell apart. Now, if you'll notice, they are almost puritanical in Russia. In order to make the thing work, they've had to go back to the very principles of tribalism which we're advocating. You can't work society with a communist pipe dream. Civilization is based on self-sacrifice, on the willingness of men to go out and die for what they believe in. When you get rid of that self-sacrifice, you get anarchy. Civilization is built because I am willing to give up something for my family. And the family is willing to give up something in order to have the town succeed. And the town is willing to give up something so the state can be in business. And the state is willing to give up something so the nation can succeed. Self-sacrifice is the first principle of civilization. Communism has got the fanaticism to destroy you, and it's doing it. And unless you can build up a counter-fanaticism for something you believe in positively, you will be destroyed. You are being destroyed.
Recently, there was a report out that among new babies that were born, this happened last year, minorities were now the majority, that whites were officially the minority.
And they're boasting about it. Khrushchev just said, America's so liberal, they'll never fight. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, but we're going to change that. It won't be quite so liberal. After we've had a chance to make America understand what it is and make it conscious of itself and its greatness and its people, and the white race understand that they're worthy of protecting themselves, that they don't have to keep humbling and downgrading themselves while other races are standing up and saying, look at us, how great we are. We keep saying we're ashamed of ourselves for being white. That's a terrible thing. The thing for each race to do is be proud of itself. And the white people and the good people of this country, when they finally realize that they can do that without hurting or being obnoxious to anybody else, they will finally become fanatics to survive, to keep this great country going.